Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Yash High Voltage Limited H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I have with me Mr. Keyur Shah, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Darshan Thakkar, Executive Director, Finance, Mr. Neeraj Patel, Executive Director, Global Business, Mr. Sumit Poddar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Mitanshu Shah from Investor Relations. Before we proceed, this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance of the company, and it may involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Keyur Shah, Chairman and Managing Director, for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Warm welcome, everyone, for joining the Yash High Voltage earnings conference call for the half year ended 30th September. I appreciate you all taking your time to be with us today. Our results, investor presentation, and media release have been shared with the stock exchange and uploaded on our website, and I trust you had an opportunity to review them. Friends, I am delighted to report yet another half year of strong growth, marked by robust operational execution and healthy financial performance. This performance underscores the momentum we are building, and I will now take you through the standalone results for the 6 months. During the first half year, our total revenues increased by 78.6% year-on-year to rupees 102 crore from 57 crore in the previous corresponding period. This growth was mainly driven by robust order inflows from both domestic and international power and infrastructure sectors, coupled with strong operational efficiency and strategic capacity expansion. The EBITDA was rupees 23 crore in the first half of this year against 11 crore last year, year-on-year growth of 109.9%. EBITDA margin for this year stood to 22.8%, year-on-year increase of 31 BPS. Profit after tax was 14 crore in this half, as against 6 crore in the previous half, year-on-year growth of 109.4%. Profit after tax margin for this year stood to 13.7%, year-on-year increase of 256 BPS. The EBITDA and the PAT margins have continued to remain healthy, reflecting the benefits of our focus on operational excellence and the expanding contribution from product diversification. Our balance sheet remains healthy and conservatively funded, with a debt-to-equity ratio of 0.17 and a current ratio of 2.61, providing us with sufficient liquidity cushion to support controlled growth. As we prepare inventory and capacity to ramp up, our working capital is effectively managed through tighter collections and efficient supply control, maintaining a good cash flow conversion. This allows us to invest in expansion while still adhering to our return discipline. Before I move to the company updates, let me briefly touch upon the broader industry backdrop. The global energy demand continues to expand strongly, nearly twice the International Energy Agency, according to the International Agency. This demand is expected to continuously grow. In 2027, there are projects already lined up in India also, where there are already orders which are in the pipeline, the majority of the OEMs and the EPC contractors. This demand is driven by energy-intensive sectors, such as data centers, artificial intelligence, vehicles, renewable energy, solar, offshore wind projects, and many other, which await the new capacity additions and could surpass coal-based generation. This rising demand is creating significant stress on transmission and distribution infrastructure in terms of having strong demand for transformers and transformer components like ours. We play a critical role in ensuring safe and efficient power transmission. The global transformation market today is estimated to close to 25,000 crore, an is projected to grow at a CAGR of at least 5.6% through 2034, underpinned by renewable integration, grid modernization, and the expansion of smart grids. Within this capacity, within this opportunity, our current product range addresses a global market of 10,000-12,000 crore. With the commissioning of our new greenfield project, scaling up to 550 kV against our present range of 245 kV, and the opening of global markets for our own localized RF solution, our addressable market is set to expand to beyond 15,000-16,000 crore in today's capacity, unlocking a significant growth runway. Closer to the home, India transformation market is also growing. We are also growing, expanding globally. Our existing product portfolio maps to about close to 30%-35% market share in the Indian market. With a comprehensive product range built to global standards, a proven export record of 15 years across 60+ countries, and the agility of independent players supported by global exports and trusted partners, we enter this growth cycle from a position of clear strength. I'm also pleased to share some exciting updates on our growth journey. We have acquired 50% equity stake in Jodhpur Electric Company, which is a Pune-based transformer machine, a transformer component manufacturing company, and in a partnership with Quality Power Equipment from Sanghvi. This collaboration combines the strengths of Yash and Quality Power both to enhance the group's scale, capability, and reach across both domestic and international transformer markets. In another significant milestone, we have established our presence in the United States with the launch of Yash USA and a dedicated sales and marketing office. This expansion also brings us closer to the customer across the Americas, allowing us to deliver innovation, reliability, precision, engineering, transformer machines directly at their doorstep. It marks an important step forward in strengthening our global footprint and reaffirming our commitment to powering the world with excellence. Over the last 6 months, we have also forged strategic distribution ties, partnering with Wiemann early this year for the selected European and North African market, and with Electrolink UK to expand into U.K., Ireland, and Wales. Alongside this market expansion, we have also further reinforced our testing infrastructure by adding in-house test facilities for temperature rise and for impulse and dew point measurement facilities, enhancing our ability to deliver products of the highest quality and reliability. At present, we hold around 1% of the global addressable market, underscoring the immense headroom for ahead growth. With our upcoming greenfield facility for RF machines, continued focus on engineering excellence, and growing export capabilities, Yash is uniquely positioned to capture a much larger share of this rapidly expanding global market. On the IPO proceeds, as of 30 September 2025, we have deployed close to 45% of this amount raised over the intended use of setting up a new greenfield factory, and we have a balance of close to 51 crore along unutilized, earmarked primarily for the factory rollout as per the stated objectives. We expect plant to be ready by the end of this financial year and will start contributing in a couple of quarters after that with commercial production. Technology absorption for the new core is satisfactory, and we are confident of deploying it in new plant. With strong operational and financial achievement and multiple expansion projects underway, we are well on course to deliver multi-fold growth over the next 5 years, targeting a minimum CAGR of 35% as we have been maintaining historically. This growth will be supported by rising global and domestic infrastructure investment, while backward integration will further strengthen efficiencies and reduce costs. This result highlights not only our ability to sustain growth through disciplined execution and innovation, but also reinforce our Yash's leadership position with an expanding global presence. As demand for renewable power infrastructure accelerates across markets, our ongoing capacity expansion, strategic partnerships, and commitment to advanced solutions position us firmly at the forefront of industry transformation. Looking ahead, we remain confident that our forward-thinking investment and relentless focus on engineering excellence will continue to deliver superior value for all stakeholders while cementing our competitive edge and growth momentum in the years to come. I once again extend my heartfelt thanks to the entire Yash High Voltage team for the relentless dedication and commitment, and to all our stakeholders for their continued trust and support in our growth journey. Thank you all for joining, and we can now open the floor for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sucrit Patil from Eyesight Fintrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning to the Yash team. I have two questions, one for Mr. Keyur Shah and the other for Mr. Mitanshu. My question to Mr. Keyur Shah is, as you grow outside India, how do you plan to stand out? Will it be through better technology or through better pricing? And are there any countries or big clients where you see Yash becoming a top player? Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your question. We, as Yash, have understood the global transformer market, and we have identified those countries who have strong transformer OEMs. There are two types of requirements. One is where there is a strong OEM base, and second is where there are the end users. So we are focusing on both the strategy. We are also working on the end customers, like the solars or the data centers, wherever we are needing approval. A bushing is a product where we need approval. So OEM might be based in Turkey, but if he has to export to USA, then the US customer also needs to approve us. So we are working on both ways. We are working towards the OEM also, towards the consultants also, and towards the end user also. So we have a clear strategy, and we have identified those markets which in next 3 or 5 years are expanding a lot. There we are expanding our sales network. We are also expanding slowly, that is with USA, which today has a sales office, followed by a service setup. Similarly, we are creating local presence by appointing local people locally for faster access. So we believe, and we have already seen the success of that. The reason of every time traveling an Indian person to a foreign soil, it is better to appoint a local person in that soil whom people are used to and who have comfort. So today the model is clear. We will export from India. Going forward, if needed, we would localize over there and create a facility over there.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And my second question is to Mr. Mitanshu Shah. I believe he is on the call also today.
Yeah, he is with me.
So I just want to understand, now that Yash is listed, how are you planning to use the money? Will it go more into new machines, product research, or daily business needs? And are there any key numbers or goals you are focusing on to show the investors that the company can grow well and stay strong also? What is the plan going ahead? I just want to understand that. Thank you very much.
If you allow, can I respond instead of Mitanshu? I'm Keyur Shah. Is it okay if I respond?
Fine. We'll do that.
Okay. So first of all, the IPO proceeds are towards the capacity buildup. We are building the infrastructure for the civil, the building, the equipment, the laboratory. Okay. And since the company's balance sheet is healthy, smaller investments what we need for marketing expenditure or people addition, that all is taken care from our internal accruals. So as of now, the IPO proceeds remain focused to the purpose for which they were raised. Point number two, as far as the growth potential is concerned, as I was mentioning in my opening speech, if the global market, transformer market today is close to 25,000-26,000 crore, which is expected to rise to around 35,000 crore. Today, we are already having a range up to 245 kV, which we are now expanding up to 550 kV. So our addressable market increases to at least 15 to 16,000 crore today, which again is going to expand. We believe that even if we maintain a 35-40% growth, as we have been maintaining historically, from a 200 plus year turnover, which would generally be expected this year, We believe that growth of 8 to 10 times of the annual revenue is not a conservative number. It is a much achievable number in coming 8 to 10 years. That's what we believe, and we have reasonable plans for that. And the market is there. Even with those numbers, we might still not be more than, not more than 5% of the market.
Okay, great. So thank you very much for answering all my questions, and I wish you the best of luck for all future endeavors.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jay Chauhan from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah,
sir. So I just have one question on a broader term. Like, how do you see near-term and medium-term demand for high-voltage transmission equipment in India and our key export markets? And also, which end markets, I would say, are driving most incremental demand? Is it utilities, renewables, industrials, metro railways? What exactly are the end markets which are driving the most incremental demand?
Okay. So, first of all, since you people come from the investor fraternity and you must have already also researched so many transformer companies or the cable industry who all also are today investing left, right, center. If somebody understands our market, global power transformer manufacturers who today are investing in their capacity in greenfield or brownfield projects are more than 250. At least 250 plus transformer manufacturers today are almost doubling up their capacity. We as a component player, specific transformer bushing, we are less than 12 or 13 globally. But we understand that we all are also adding up and few might come new also. So our understanding says that the transformer demand is expected not to slow down for at least next 6 to 7 years minimum. And assuming that it slows down after 6 to 7 years, there will be still a huge room for bushing players like us for at least 12 to 13 years because unlike transformers, in bushing there is a huge entry barrier. Right? It's not that somebody would invest a facility today and tomorrow the factory will be up and running loaded with orders. It takes a lot of time for the end customer, the consultant and the OEM to gain trust for a new bushing supplier given the criticality of the bushing application. We today are at a right time, right place situation and we believe that it's enough room for all the bushing players to grow multifold. Mind me, I'm absolutely clear. A company like Yash can aspire to have at least 8 to 10 times the revenue in next 8 to 10 years comfortably. If we put in more effort, if we are able to manage well, if we are able to do something extraordinary, then probably it might be much more. So for us, sitting from here to today, next 8 to 10 years seems very comfortable. There is enough market for everyone. We don't see any blood baths. We don't see any spoiling of pricing. And everybody would be able to utilize their capacity effectively to the customers and the products of their choice.
Understood, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely, sir. But I just wanted to understand bushing as a product. So, like, I just wanted to understand the complexity of product and how hard it is to backward integrate for the transformer manufacturers out there and what are the reasons they are not doing it.
Okay. So, it's not that people are, first of all, bushing is a connection to a transformer. Like, as we say that the transformer is a heart of a substation, then bushing is a gateway to that heart. And bushing happens to be very critical. We need to give enough safe paths to the power inside a transformer. And it's not that the transformer companies don't want to make bushings or they have not been able, they have not made bushings. There are transformer companies like Hitachi and Siemens or GE and Crompton Greaves who have been producing bushings for captive consumption also and selling outside also. But majority of the transformers companies, for example, Hyundai or Vig or Holtem, or there are so many companies in India and globally who all are making transformers, for them bushing don't contribute more, or for any transformer company, bushing don't contribute more than 50% of their annual revenue. So generally people would prefer to outsource it because it is very critical and if there is any issue in the bushing, their transformer guarantee warranty can be extended to a much longer period, which generally they would not prefer to do. I understand bushing is a high skill market for people like us who have 100% focus only on bushing. Now for a transformer player, transformer business is more important. Like an automobile player, if I am making a car, I might be still okay if I get a tire from a good company. I would not put up a tire factory for completing my automobile. I might still outsource if I am getting good quality tire. It's something like that.
Makes sense, sir. Makes sense. Thank you for answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Avisar Jain from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir, and congrats for a good performance in H1. So, Keyurbhai, just wanted to know that in this H1, the performance that we have seen, how has been the split between the RIP and the OIP bushings? Is it like the same 85-15 which you saw in FY25?
First of all, thank you, Abhisar ji, for congratulating to me and to our team. We all have worked hard and we aspire to keep on working hard, and we are looking forward to a very bright journey ahead. I would like to answer to your question. Two good things are happening. While, of course, our contribution from the RIP continues still to be more than 80%, but the way our overall turnover has increased, and we are very happy to see that our OIP and exports are also able to substantially grow in that period, and to see that the number of countries which are getting added every year are much more. Also, we are getting businesses from different sectors, from retrofits also, repairs also, and from different applications also. For example, suppose we are doing something for a very large Western country, something for indoor substation. These are very respectable jobs, something we are doing for some European country for their railways. So such type of jobs where all we are supplying our OIP and high current machines. That's all respected markets which were again really dominated only by Europeans. So there we are getting in. We see a huge potential going forward, because you can understand RIP's value-wise are more. So if RIP still continues 85%, but for an OIP or high current, it will become difficult to match that pace, you know, and to be still 18-20% of the revenue at 100, almost close to 70-80% growth market.
Right. And sir, on the current plant, which is our existing plant, I understand that we have done some debottlenecking and improvement. So at current level, what kind of utilization we are running at, and before the greenfield plant kicks in? I think in the last call you had indicated that the current plant also has a decent enough potential. So you want to indicate anything on that side in terms of utilization and what potential our current plant has?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, two good things happened. Like that it was good that we invested in the present facility also last year. And the second good part is that now that is also 80 plus percentage utilized. So we are adding in that capacity also in the existing factory also. And just last week I finalized all the capex orders for the existing factory also. Because we see that that is also multifold growth in our OIP and high current and localized RIP as what we are doing today with the assembly model. So while we are getting ready for the new facility, we are confident that this addition in the existing facility also, which will again get commissioned in next 4 to 5 months, will still be very helpful to us for maintaining this growth momentum. As we see that the growth is coming from all sectors. So we would not like to neglect or to overlook the need of investing further in the existing factory also.
Understood, sir. And sir, it would be very helpful if you can give some indication about what stage the greenfield capacity is, like how much of progress, say, we have already made, and approximate timeline when we want to begin the trial runs. So any, you know, information out there would be helpful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again. This is a very important point, because we have raised the money from IPO for the project, and we have made sure, and I am so happy that the project is on dot for completion. We don't see any delay. Everything is happening on time in terms of the civil, the PEB, our ordering has happened on time, our equipment have started getting ready, we are sending our team for inspection to various vendors. So while the equipments are getting ready, we assume that our building blocks should be ready by end of on mid-December or end of December. So we can start moving in equipments because the sailing time from all the global locations is also 40-45 days considering it from 5G. So we assume that by January we will start installing equipments and by February, March we should be ready or we should have already started the trial production as expected. And in the next first half of the next year, we will complete all the plant approval process and also complete our type test and also make the plant visits for different end users and OEMs in case they want to come and witness. So we are absolutely on track as what we had planned last year at the IPO time, and we have not encountered any delay.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, Keyur Bhai, for answering all the questions and best of luck.
Thanks, Abhisar.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to two questions per participant. The next question comes from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, Akshay.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations for the great set of numbers. So my first question is, historically we have seen that 60-65% of our revenue is coming in half two, generally March quarter is strongest. So it will continue in this financial year as well, right?
Actually, you know, now the pressure has come on our sales team and our factory team to maintain what we have done historically. As such, it was a heavy load in the first half. But yes, today we have a very healthy order book and we are now putting in all the guts from our side to make sure that we are able to exceed the H2 turnover than what we did in H1. And I'm hoping that we should be able to surpass easily what we did in H1 with better numbers in the H2. I may not be able to exactly commit what number, but we should surpass what we did in H1. And the overall growth is very clear that it is coming very healthy. And because you will understand, it is always not possible to commit in advance because we are also dependent on suppliers. Now it is a supplier market. But we are confident that it will definitely surpass what we have done in H1 with much better numbers.
Okay, sir. And sir, my second question is about EBITDA margin. So what might be our comfortable EBITDA margin in over the next 3 to 5 years and after the commissioning of our new greenfield plant in half two of FY27, will it be increased or it will be staying the same at around 21-22%?
To be very honest, we have been able to manage or slightly marginally improvise the EBITDA in the first half of this year also, which we plan to maintain or slightly increase for 1.5 or 2 years still more. Beyond that, we see a steep growth in the EBITDA margins, given the fact that we would be producing things locally, which today we are importing, saving us on our import duty, our air freights. And also, definitely, there is an advantage when you make locally a product which you are importing from Europe. And second is that when we are able to export this product, the RIP products globally, what we have experienced in our YP markets, the price realization is much, much, much substantially more when it is Western world or when it is the US or whether it is even Middle East. It is much, much, much more. So we believe that there will be considerable margin expansion and from 26-27 we still might be able to improvise marginally on our EBITDA, maintain our EBITDA increase, but beyond that we see steep increase.
Okay, so by when are you...
Akshay, I would request you to please rejoin the queue.
Sure, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. One humble request, your initial comments were not understandable. So, I even told the operator for that. So, one question on, sir, the capacity expansion plan that we have. We mentioned that, if I'm not wrong here, that the global market for bushings is about 25,000 crores-35,000 crores.
Yeah.
So if you could break this down into different KB segments, and what is our business, you know, contribution from different KB? So that is my first question.
So, just for your understanding, out of the 25,000-26,000 crore market, the market for bushings up till through 20 KV is close to 70%-75%. Beyond that, it is 420 KV or 765 KV or some more higher classes, which we are not making. Okay? Within that, we are also not making the distribution class bushings. That is the reason we are saying our addressable market is 10,000-12,000, because we are not making products up till 33 KV. So from a 33 KV, 52 KV to 245 KV, that is precisely 10,000-12,000 market, which we are addressing today. When I elevate my manufacturing capacity up till 550 KV, we might be able to add additional 3,400 or 3,500 crore market, today's market, in our range.
Right, sir. So, sir, in terms of our capability, what do we need to add to our manufacturing and technology in order to be able to do that 500 KV range? So what is the investment, technology, and infra required for that capability?
So we need manufacturing equipment, and we need test facilities. So we have already expanded our test facility. We have already expanded our sizes of our rooms needed for that, and our plant overall infrastructure. We have now already done it up till 550 KV, which originally at the IPO stage, we were going to do only up till 220 KV. But looking at this demand, we have already increased our capacity for 550 KV.
Sir, are we qualified by any utility or OEM or third party to supply products in that KV range, the 500 KV?
No, unless my product-
That's-
is not ready. Once my product is ready, I have to do a type test, and then that type test would be the basis on which they would start getting.
Right.
I can address one more question. I can address one more question which you have not asked for the larger interest of the audience. That since today the products are in shortage and demand, the utilities are more than happy that if a new player is coming up and an established player like Yash, if they come up and do a successful type test, then we get a ready business, which is not available for totally new players.
Right.
Yeah.
Sir, you mentioned that there are 12, 13 players in the entire world who are doing bushings in that KV range. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, sir, we talked about the demand, but if you could also talk about the competition and different players, which countries do these players come from? And, you know, and geography-wise, competitive intensity, like, let's say even Europe and U.S., maybe those are the major target markets even for us. So in each of these larger markets and geographies, what is the main competition and from which countries do they originate?
So the majority competition in this segment, globally, comes from very large players like Hitachi or Trench or GE. Pastronuovilla, they have a factory in Italy. These are the three very large players which control close to 80% of the market. And the balance market has players like us or Crompton Greaves or Moser-Glaser, couple of Chinese, and also a player like Russian, Meru Isolator.
Right. So since you mentioned the top three-
I would request you to kindly join back the queue. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question comes from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to understand on the Sucrute Electrical acquisition side, like, their products are very incredible, air cells and all the bushings and all that. So what will be the TAM after that, you have done the acquisition for that? So how big will be the market for that, sir?
Sukrut is a very old, renowned company in this segment, and they have got a distinct name. Unfortunately, they today are not doing business to what they should at their level do, looking at the competition who came much, much later than them, and they have still done at least seven times the revenue what Sukrut is doing. Okay. And we with this presence as what we and Yash and Quality Power have, and with very good products like Sukrut, we for sure, we don't want to enter into dirty competition and throwing up the price for getting orders, but we will still maintain a niche in Sukrut. And because of our global access, we believe that we should be able to grow at least 8 to 10 times Sukrut top line also in next not more than 5-6 years.
Okay. Secondly, on the capacity side, like as you mentioned that the current facility has around 9,000 to 10,000 capacity of bushing, and with the greenfield plant coming in, it will be around 15,000 to 16,000, excluding the core part that is majorly coming in the core, majorly coming in the greenfield, right?
Yeah. Now that's clear. So from revenue perspective, the present facility is able to help us today with this turnover, which we assume is around 70%-80% loaded today. The new factory, which will be ready, will also be able to give us almost equivalent value of turnover. Quantity-wise, I am always trying to be a bit wary because a 420 kV bushing versus a 24 kV or 36 kV bushing, number of bushing might be very, very much different for a similar amount of value-wise turnover. So I would say that with both the facilities around, close to 600 or 700 crore or 550 or 700 crore plus minus, revenue should be possible without any much capacity need addition, additional need.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you so much for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Keshav from Rakshan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Sir, there's been a flux of capacities in the sub-245 kV transformers. A peer of ours even mentioned in the call that they are concerned about global overcapacity in the time to come. So do you foresee any feedback loops coming to us in terms of our ability to price the product going forward if there is a pricing pressure from the for the transformer players?
First of all, please understand that there is no standalone product which has to be supplied. When a customer approaches me, they have a set of bushing of LV, HV, everything. And again, the transformer players are expected to have some price war in next 3-4 years, because if they have to book themselves for the 6th year or the 7th year, they need to start taking orders in the 4th year. Looking at today's situation, even if the capacities are getting expanded. So we as bushing player, we might still have a option to select which orders which we want to do and where we want to allocate our capacity. It is not necessary that we would be still going up and reducing our prices just to satisfy a customer's expectation or to book order, because the number of orders out there would be much more than what we can deliver. So the shortage or the capacity constraint is going to continue at least 8 to 10 years for us. They might be in overcapacity and they might enter into a price war, but we don't see bushing players will enter into any price war for next 7 to 8 years.
Okay, great.
At the moment, I might have to say no. If I'm not comfortable, I might say no, I don't want to take the order.
Understood, sir. And sir, secondly, our inventory has gone up if I compare it to March in terms of inventory days, I mean. So is it because the second half business is expected to be stronger, or are there any change in the terms of the business, terms of business with the customers?
Honestly, there is no change in the situation. The only situation today is that we are having always some or the other thing which today does not come on time, because there is so many components which contribute to a bushing. Okay, so we need to be always having the raw material or the component with us available ready. So because moment the next component comes, we can assemble and dispatch. So once upon a time, there was a concept of just in time. But now in our situation today, it is better to have the available components in hand ready and just to follow up for the shortage component and then to deliver or convert the machine and supply it fast. So sometimes it happens that we might need to have some inventory more because one of the other components has yet not come. So the inventory needs to be higher. But otherwise, we are still comfortable.
Okay, okay. And sir, lastly, MGC Moser Glaser AG, which was earlier a related party and held by the same promoter, it was said it is in the business of RIP Bushing. So how do you, how does one think in terms of conflict of interest for a company?
So first of all, there is no conflict of interest because we know we don't have any contractual obligations or there are no set of limitations for any company to not do anything or there is no non-compete clause. As far as the market situation is concerned, once we are out in the market, then we are out in the market. That's it. There is what else we can do. It's a huge market for them also. It's a huge market for us also.
Okay, okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sir, I just wanted to know, we have seen the boom and bust cycle in transformer in the past also some years back. And a lot of new installations are coming up in transformers also. Will it lead to overcapacity and adversely affect our business as well? And is it the solar power becoming more affordable is the major reason? Because solar, and then in that case, the land acquisition problem and the transmission line problem, are they also creating some headwinds for the transformer sector in India as well as abroad, sir? Please tell us about it and the opportunity size and the growth rate expected our company in the time to come, sir. Thank you.
So first of all, please allow me to be, you know, limiting my answer to what product I am making. I don't come from the regulator fraternity, so where I could speak about the land acquisition problem or what will happen with the solar sector. That's not my job. Okay, as a bushing player, I can say we are making bushings for transformers. And just a while ago, I addressed the point that what will happen with the overcapacity with the transformer, where we are least concerned. Because we are still handful and the transformer companies are huge and the overall requirement is coming up from too many sectors. It is not only solar or renewable. There are too many sectors which are driving this demand. So one or the other sector is slowing down or one or the other sector not coming up does not much matter, at least to us as a component manufacturer. We will remember that we are still on 1.5% of the global market and we only aspire to become 5 to 7%. For which the 100 remains 100, becomes 120 or becomes 70 does not much matter to us.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vineet from Toro Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question with respect to the acquisition that you did in Sukhoot Electricals, like I wanted to understand the capabilities and the strengths that Quality Power brings in and what is our vision with that collaboration with Quality Power?
I think I answered it a few minutes back, if you are on the call.
Okay.
Quality Power and Yash both will contribute towards expanding the Sukhoot's presence not only in India but globally. We both have our capabilities in terms of our reach to the customers, our acceptance and our teams. So for us, Sukhoot will be like our baby. We will have to work for that and make it stronger.
And beyond that, do we have any vision with Quality Power, like apart from Sukhoot?
No.
Okay. Thank you for the answer, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just a clarification first up. I mean, you mentioned both this facility together can have a revenue potential of 600 to 700 crores.
Yes.
And how many years we are looking to optimally utilize it?
In 2.5 to 3 years max.
So in 3 years we are looking to optimally utilize it, right?
Yeah.
Ideally then, I mean you would look have to look to grow faster than what 35% you mentioned, right? I mean to achieve that optimal utilization. I mean what optimal utilization rate would be at least 80-90%?
Yeah, absolutely.
So your growth rate should be much higher, right, as compared to what you mentioned.
If I understand correctly, if you put 35 to 40% CAGR rate, and if you put three or four years additional, you will reach to those numbers which I'm talking.
Okay. Okay, understood. And sir, my second question is on your greenfield project. Now you expect the commercial production to start by first half of FY27 or by FY26 end?
By second half of 26-27.
Okay, so by second half the commercial production will start.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what is the capex involved there?
It is 100 plus year.
100 crore. And I missed your initial commentary was not very audible. So in terms of machines, what exactly we are doing in this greenfield project, if you can just, in very short, if you can just explain.
So machine production would give the complete infrastructure, which will not be only the building and the PEB. We will need to create tools for our winding, for our autoclaves, for our material movement, for our testing laboratory in principle. High voltage test laboratories. So we are investing in everything what is needed for the production and testing of the bushing in-house. So we don't need to run around outside for any processes.
Okay, understood. And this will increase your capacity to 15,000 to 16,000 units, right?
Number wise, yes. And revenue wise, 2.5 times or 3 times from what we are doing.
Fair enough. That's very helpful, sir. That would be it from my side. All the very best to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Deepak Ajmera from IGE India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Yes, Deepak ji.
So my first question is regarding the ramp up of new greenfield plant what we are undertaking into. I understood the full utilization will come into 2.5 to 3 years, but how should this progress?
No, full utilization will get completed by the end of this year itself.
No, full utilization of new plant.
Full utilization. Sorry, I thought fund utilization.
No.
Yeah, full utilization. Full utilization will take 2.5 years, that's clear, of the new facility.
Correct. So how should this progress to be seen, that first year 30-40% and then how should we see that?
Yeah, I think that would be incremental. It will start with 30-35%.
Got it. And US is what percentage of revenue for us?
What, sir? US?
United States. Yeah.
Yeah, today it's very insignificant. We are working on getting our make included over there. So a lot of legwork is now happening, which will translate into numbers maybe after 1-1.5 years.
Got it. And secondly, I heard the question over the competition into global manner that there are 10-12 players and significant skewness is there. How it is about the domestic competition?
The domestic also there is a competition. We cannot refuse that we are only one. There is competition. There is Crompton Greaves who is already into the market. There is Mosley Isolator Maru who is making RIP machines similar to us. There is Hitachi in India. They are also having an assembly model as what we have. And there might be one or two who might be aspiring to. So that's the local situation.
Okay. Any Indian listed player?
Crompton Greaves, yes. Hitachi India also, yes. Hitachi Energy.
Got it. So, as the transformer industry is progressing, everybody is putting up a significant capex. I think that could run into oversupply in the near-term space. How the capex is overdriven into bushing side by these players?
So these 10-12 players who are into bushing, everybody is investing. Okay. As far as I know, everybody is investing in their capacity to meet up this increased demand. So if 300 transformer companies are investing, there are 10-12 bushing companies also are investing who have to take the load from these 300 companies.
Got it. And since this technology seems to be too niche, since there are too less players into this world, so how did we got this technology?
We have developed in-house capability, our own in-house team.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kumar Divyanshu, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I'm already
well, Judy. Yes, sir. No, sir.
Just one quickie question. Like, first question regarding the order book. Could you please comment on the order book till September 2025?
Yeah. So we have a reasonably healthy order book for the next 1.5 or 2 years. And we are still keeping on orders every day.
So like current order book status, could you please comment on the numbers?
I don't know whether it is allowed to speak a forward-looking number. So that's the reason I am not speaking specific number. If it is allowed, I thought we are at least, it is more than 300 CR.
Okay, more than 3 days till September.
Yeah, as on today.
Okay, sir. And what about the execution timeline?
That's what I said, that the execution timeline is 1.5 to 2 years.
Okay, sir. And sir, upcoming orders in so if you're having?
Today the order flow is unlimited. It is us, we have to decide how much orders we want to take so as we don't fail. The demand is huge. It is up to us to close the orders based on our capacity, what we can supply. So it's not a situation where we should be worried with an order. There is an order available.
Okay, sir. And sir, what about how much capex coming from this? Like, what is the revenue coming from the, what is the acquisition you have done recently of Sukrut Electric? Like from when the revenue start coming from it?
From our side, Sukrut acquisition is still not completed. So the share purchase agreement is signed and the shareholder execution is still to happen. So we have not taken control of the company. So it should take a while for us. So nothing majority in this year should change. From next year for sure, we assume from next financial year, we should be able to increase well over there. Few months will go in settling us down over there.
So from next year, revenue will start coming from this acquisition, right?
It is a running company. There is some business which is already happening over there, but we will be able to add value after a couple of months only.
Mr. How many months?
I would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, I wanted to understand our export or rather geographical strategy. So right now, our exports contribution in revenue is 4%. How are we looking to scale that up? Do we have a target in mind the next 2-3 years? What this 4% number could increase to? And in terms of specific countries, so is there a is there going to be a concentration in terms of our revenue coming in from particular geographies and countries?
Okay. So first of all, as you rightly observed, our export contribution is between 4.5%-5% today of our total revenue. And if you understand our total numbers, then if our OIP and high current bushings, where today we are able to export, because for the RIP, we still have a restriction from the present arrangement industries. So you would appreciate that from the 15 or 18 crores of our indigenous business, 35% is export. And the balance business, where today we are doing only domestic, that market we are opening up with this new greenfield factory. So moment we are ready with the greenfield factory, the balance 85% of business or 82% of business, where today I'm not exporting, I have already created my footprints globally. And these 50, 60 countries are not limited to specific continent like only Europe or only U.S. It is spread across everywhere. So we have Australia also, we have Israel also, we have Oman also, we have Dubai also, we have Africa also. And we have almost all parts of the world. We have Russia also. We have China also. Even China we are exporting. So transformer and a bushing is a very generic requirement which is needed everywhere in the world. So once we are ready with our factory and the infrastructure for us, it is any market which can give us a better price. That's it. We are from our side not limiting our efforts only for one country like USA and not doing something in Europe or Middle East or somewhere else. From our side, our attempts are going on across the world. So more the merrier from wherever we get. We are absolutely okay.
Right, sir. Thank you for that. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Agam Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, but all my questions have been answered. So if we can just have one small summary, general question. So you have already talked about the demand and the supply scenario. But if you can just briefly brief up much more, I mean, how things have been moving in currently and how you see purely on the environment front on your product. Thanks.
In broad terms, I can only say that the transformer market globally is exploding. It is hugely expanding. There are a couple of reasons. And we as Yash are very happy to be like a right time, right place. And we don't foresee any reducing demand or any slowdown for not only us, but even for the transformer market for a couple of years for people who are into those equipment which are going for the T&D or the power generation segment. Okay. There is a huge, huge, huge opportunity globally also coming up with the repairs and retrofits of previous 30, 35 years old installed grids. Okay. So we as Yash are also eyeing those businesses that once the grid modification happens, for example, if a high-speed train has to run on an old track, it will not be possible. There will be so many infrastructure needs which will happen. And not only on the tracks, but also the substation which are powering those. So these all things will keep on happening.
Agam, does that answer all your questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Rohit Bhairwani from Vijit Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one quick question on the debt side. As we come concluding the CapEx, can we expect this small debt of 27-28 crores to get repaid in the next one to two years? What are your timelines and if you are thinking on that?
See, many things will depend on how the demand is increasing. Okay. We might also need to keep on adding something beyond our IPO proceeds also, for which we might need more and more money, okay, which might be sometimes beyond the internal accruals also. So I would not make any assumption today that we would repay the loan or we will take additional funds. So we will allow the time to decide.
Okay. And there won't be any fresh debt for working capital or more internal accruals. We will be around this number only.
Today we are comfortable. Moment we approach towards the year-end, and once the project is getting over, we should be able to figure out in case we need additional funds for doing any more CapEx or for the existing CapEx also, because certain things we keep on adding. So we might be open to take some additional debt or take some equity infusion if needed, but not today. It will take some time for us to decide. Otherwise, we are okay with the internal.
Understood, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Piyush Goyal from Batlivala & Karani Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on very good growth numbers. I just wanted to check on two things. One, the current ratio has increased. I understand one is predominantly for the inventory, what you are planning. I understand there is more just-in-time nowadays. But is there any increase in receivables? What are the quality of receivables? Point one. And point two is, since we're planning to acquire Sucrose, what are the EBITDA margins we are looking at in the company? And is there any CapEx which will be needed? Do they have enough capacity since you said it needs 8-10x of revenue? So I just wanted to know on those lines, and that's it.
Okay. So first of all, thank you very much for your questions. As far as our customer profile is concerned or our credit lines with our customer, everything remains unchanged. There is nothing which is getting changed over there. Everything is comfortable, and we are able to command the terms what we have been doing for last so many years, and we don't see any reason for increase in the working capital because of something like that. So that all is otherwise okay. As far as Sucrose is concerned, Sucrose is a very new baby for us. It might take some time for us to understand overall business investments needed over there. At the moment, we will be acquiring and settling us down, settling everything. And of course, we will have professionals who will be running the company, and they will definitely come up to us with the CapEx requirement which would be needed over there for the next years for making the company. And we are also building up strategic inventory in years today for our future order servicing. Probably that might be also the reason for increasing current ratio.
Okay. Any EBITDA levels you're looking at, sir? EBITDA margin levels?
We plan to maintain what we have been doing or marginally increase.
Okay, sir. Wishing you all the best, sir, and a happy Diwali in advance. We look forward to meeting you anytime.
Happy Diwali to you also. You come from Vijit Group, right?
From Batlivala and Karani, sir.
Yeah, Batlivala. Okay.
We would love to come and meet you, sir, and see you have a plan to visit for sure.
You are most welcome at any time. If there is any plan to visit Baroda or Gujarat, and please feel free to let us know. Our factory is there, and they will be able to line up the visit for our factory.
Okay, sir. I'll write to company secretary.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Deepak Purswani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. So just
Thank you, sir.
Just wanted to check on one point. On the RIP product category, what is our EBITDA margin, especially in the export market? If you can give broader sense on that will be really helpful.
I have not started exports of RIP bushing. I can say from my OIP experience that the exports margin is generally are much, much, much better for bushing players when we go outside India to any country. Not only Europe or USA, but if you go to any country, in India we have the highest negotiations, the price margins in any export country is much better. So I believe that for RIP also the same is there, or maybe a bit more better.
Okay. So would it be fair to assume, sir, in most of the category, what we have noticed, especially in the cap goods side, that typically the delta between export and domestic market is 10-12% in the EBITDA margin for the export category. So this would be the similar range we would have for us as well?
I can give a generic answer that the price realization for the same chemical as product in a domestic market versus an export market has a delta between 30%-40%.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, and wish you all the best, sir, and happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Keyur Shah for his closing comments.
Thank you so much, IR Factor team, for organizing this call, and thank you so much to each and every attendee for this call, for coming up with their questions. We as Yash are very happy to get this quality of questions, and I hope I have been able to answer what was the question to me or to the company. And we as Yash will be available in case there is any questions even going forward which come across. Please feel free to share to us, and it will be more, we will be more than happy to reply each and everything to your satisfaction. We are growing today as Yash, and we aspire to grow in our journey and to make the country and our state and our SME entrepreneurs across the world feel proud that we are also making large. So we would like to keep on continuing our efforts in this journey.
Thank you. On behalf of Yash High Voltage Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.